WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump says he's doubling the imported steel tariff.
So we're bringing it up from 25%. We're doubling it to 50%.
Trump making the announcement during a rally in Pennsylvania on Friday to discuss the partnership between U.S. Steel and Japan-based Nippon Steel. When asked, President Trump today did not rule out a pardon for Sean Diddy Combs. Meanwhile, a Combs sex trafficking and racketeering trial today potentially damaging testimony from Combs' former assistant.
She says that she worked for Combs for 8 years and that she lived in fear of him, that as his assistant, he would allegedly throw things at her, a book. He would throw her into the pool and be violent with her multiple times. And she says that he also sexually assaulted her.
ABC's Rena Roy. The Supreme Court today granting the Trump administration's request to revoke humanitarian parole for more than 500,000 immigrants from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. This is ABC News. A 61-year-old Alaska man expected to make a full recovery after getting pinned down by a 700-pound boulder for 3 hours last Saturday, say authorities. The man was hypothermic, slipping in and out of consciousness, laying on his stomach with the spouse holding his head out of the water. Crews used airbags, ropes, and, quote, brute force to lift the boulder and pull him to safety. He doesn't face any life-threatening injuries. At the Scripps National Spelling Bee.
243 spellers entered the competition. Late into the contest, it was down to just three, including 13-year-old Faizan Zaki, who was on the verge of winning until he was tripped up by this word.
Kamalina.
K-A-M-O. I'm sorry.
That allowed the two other contestants to re-enter, but they spelled their words incorrectly, leaving Faizan all by himself with one final word. Eclaircissement.
S-S-E-M-E-N-T. Eclaircissement.
That is correct.
Faizan gets a huge trophy and a $50,000 prize. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
And I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
Friday nights are for fish fry at the Lazy Yolf Lounge. Enjoy baked or fried cod, deep-fried bluegill and lake perch, warm bread out of the oven with some tasty side dishes. Plus, the Lazy Yolf Lounge is a great place for lunch with great daily specials, soups made from scratch, and fast, friendly service. The Lazy Yolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Find specials, menus, and more at LazyYolfLounge.com.
Looking to strengthen the bond with your pup? Dane County Humane Society offers a variety of dog training classes led by certified trainers. Classes are designed to help you and your furry friend learn new skills, improve behavior, and deepen your connection. Whether your dog is a curious puppy, an independent teenager, or a lifelong learner, DCHS has the tools and expertise to help you set the stage for a successful year ahead. Visit giveshelter.org/dogtraining to register today.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight. The Brewers open a 3-game series against the Phillies, the best team in the National League so far this season. But manager Pat Murphy is encouraged after the crew swept the Red Sox this week in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, it's a testament to who they are. I talk about that a lot, like who these people are. Who is Bryce Turang? Who is Jackson Chourio? Who is William Contreras and Yelich? And that's what makes me believe in the team is who they are.
In golf, the U.S. Women's Open continues at Erin Hills near Hartford, Wisconsin. NFL at OTAs, we met Aaron Banks, the Packers' new left guard, who signed a 4-year, $77 million deal in free agency and talked about finding out he was headed from the 49ers to Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get a lot of contact from my agent until the window opened on that Monday, and he hit me and was like, hey, we got good news, think cheese. So I was like, all right, deal's done. All right, sounds good.
That's Packers left guard Aaron Banks. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Speaking of privileged cluelessness, actress Jenna Ortega says she was unhappy after her role in Wednesday catapulted her to fame. The rich 22-year-old actress told Harper's Bazaar becoming famous was intense and scary. She also said she was unhappy playing a schoolgirl in the show when she was becoming a young woman in real life, which she feared would not allow people to take her seriously. Such a big fat bummer. I'm sure Starbucks is hiring. Actress Felicity Huffman went on Good Morning America to talk about her new and most likely terrible Lifetime film. While being interviewed, she reacted to the news that Kerry Washington is part of a new Desperate Housewives reboot. She said it was great that they are redoing Wisteria Lane for women of color. This is the same woman who cheated to get her own privileged but not so bright daughter into college, most likely taking a spot away from someone who needed it more, or a person of color. It is good that she at least seems okay with TV people of color getting ahead. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and hazy tonight with maybe a stray shower and a low in the low 50s. Filtered sunshine ahead for tomorrow, highs in the low 70s. And into the upper 70s on Sunday, still a little hazy. 80s ahead for Monday. Right now it's 73.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, we'll talk to disability advocate Adam Brabender and Austin Galante, filmmaker.
He's got a movie called Sanguine Teeth on a Driftless Road.
Join us.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive. Because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Trading Post. Shop now at shop now at cause-cart.shop.
And then just type in Native Roots and it'll come right to our store and see your beautiful jewelry and our t-shirts, Resist t-shirts, and all those groovy things, Wendy.
Yeah, I have to get used to saying this commercial. It's a little tongue twister for me.
That's right. Hey, today, Friday, we had the kickoff parade because, you know, Wendy, we had some tragedy happen in the beginning of the month, and today was the kickoff parade, and tonight will be the powwow at 6 at the Minneapolis American Indian Center. And today I stopped by the parade, and it was at Little Earth, and Lieutenant Governor was there, and it was pretty festive, and there was a lot of floats. I didn't stick around to see who won the floats this year, but it was pretty funny, and it was a good turnout, and there was a food truck afterwards, and they fed everybody, and a good way to start out a weekend, but also remembrance of a Native American month here, Heritage Month here in Minnesota.
Yeah, it's always important to celebrate those things and to remind people that it's happening and include everybody. So that's great.
Well, a good point too about reminding people. Clyde Belcourt's son, Crow, spoke beforehand and talked about the history and how down Franklin Avenue, that there was first it was a day, then it was a week, Native American Heritage Week in Minnesota, and they had teepees all around Franklin Avenue. Wow. And he remembers helping his dad take down those teepees, but there was people staying in them, so they just left them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. Overnight. So
they weren't there just for show.
They were real teepees.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we've come a long way, and we have a long way to go, and I think that's always fun to talk to Robert Lilligren about how much things have changed and gotten better, but we still have a long way to go.
Yeah, always a long way to go, but, you know, little by little, inch by inch, it's a cinch, yard by yard, it's hard.
I couldn't have said it any better. Hey, I kind of have a role in here. The Lieutenant Governor spoke a little bit, and then also read the proclamation. Why don't we take a listen to the Lieutenant Governor of
Peggy Flanagan.
Today, as we are here lifting each other up and celebrating our community together, I hope that you also are able to find some joy and know that we're here together, and that is a powerful thing. And I also want to just name this ridiculously large trophy that Louise Mattson is holding right now. Don't mess with her, because she could take you out with this trophy. But there's going to be some pretty fierce competition for these floats here today. And so good luck to everybody. And just know, I want to just be very clear, I am not a judge today for this process. So if it gets heated, don't blame me. But again, just thank you for gathering, everybody. It is really beautiful to see everyone, and just happy to be here. I do want to just read this proclamation. And for those of you who have known me for a long time, I've had glasses for a long time, but it's very clear that now I need readers because there's very tiny print on this proclamation. So bear with me here. Whereas American Indian Month is celebrated in Minnesota each May to recognize American Indian history, culture, contributions, art, and ways of life, and the best looking people in Minnesota. I added that part. And whereas Minnesota is located on the ancestral and contemporary lands of American Indian people, specifically the Dakota and Anishinaabe people, and this land holds great historical, spiritual, and personal significance. And whereas the history and culture of Minnesota is intertwined with the history of indigenous peoples of these lands, including the 11 sovereign tribal nations, all of whose customs and traditions are part of a rich legacy throughout our state. And whereas Minnesota honors and celebrates many American Indian organizations that provide vital resources, celebrate culture, preserve traditions, invest in language revitalization, and host robust activities and events during the month of May and year-round in support of American Indian people and their cultures across Minnesota. And whereas Minnesota celebrates the immeasurable contributions and achievements made by American Indian people that have enriched our state and encourages all people to learn more about indigenous communities through research stories from American Indian people and participation in American Indian Month activities and events. Now, therefore, I, Tim Walz, Governor of Minnesota, do hereby proclaim May 2025 as American Indian Month in the great state of Minnesota. Happy American Indian Month, everybody.
And that was our friend, Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and hopefully our next U.S. states, U.S. Senator.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll vote for her.
Yeah, we'll
yeah, definitely.
Way to go, but yeah, that's definitely. Can I try this commercial one more time? Because I have to say it right. Let me just practice it.
Okay.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Trading Host. Shop now at cause-cart.shop.com. Find your resist gear. Do it. I redeemed myself.
That was awesome. That's the old days, those live reads we used to have.
This one, I'm just not used to. There's too many. cause-cart.shop.com.
Well, if you're anything like me, I've been staying up late watching TV, and I'm a little sleepy right now, so hopefully our audience knows that I'm a little sleepy.
Yeah, it's Friday.
Yeah, it's, you know, one of the things, we only got a couple minutes here, and then we're going to have our friend, State Senator Mary Kunish on.
Yeah.
And we're really excited to always talk to her every Friday and amplify what's happening at the state capitol and talk about what's happening at state capitol also native-wise. And we talked over the years, Wendy, that it's been amazing how we have so many, and we could use more, but state representatives that really speak for the Native community, mm-hmm. and good things like wolves, clean water, and the things that we talk about and the Native community supports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doesn't everybody want clean water?
Well, you would think. You would think.
Some people just want to drill, 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 baby, drill.
I know. And we talked to Bob Blake, too, and it's funny, and not in a good way funny, but that the whole world is switching over to renewables, but we're drill baby and coal and all those things that make billionaires richer in our planet, and especially this country, the Turtle Island here, less livable.
Yeah.
So that's why you have like somebody like Elon Musk trying to go to Mars, because he's destroying this planet. Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. I mean, come on. If you had as much money as he did, and you had a little bit of empathy and compassion, maybe you could really do a lot of good with that money.
Yeah.
You know, it could make that money work so it's sustains itself, you know, mm-hmm. and get programs and things started that could benefit everybody.
Absolutely.
With that money.
Well, I've always said, and, you know, if you made one less B-1 bomber, $1 billion bomber, you could feed the whole country.
We have a greedy administration, and they don't care about people. They just care about money and power, and that's the bottom line, and that's the end of the story.
Oh, that's the end of the story.
It is.
I hear you. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're going to be right back with State Senator Mary Kunish, and then we're going to have our sacred animal portion here. Ooh. What are we going to have? Any fun facts?
Oh, so many fun facts.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Native Roots Radio.
Stay with us.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including Indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demony, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
What does it mean to begin? Creation Story explores Native origin stories through powerful contemporary art, connecting past and present with every brushstroke in sculpture. Explore how identity, culture, and resilience are shaped through art. Creation Story, now at All My Relations Arts through July 26th. This exhibition invites you to the heart of the Ochate Shikoin storytelling, where spiritual relatives guide the way. Open to all. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org. Experience the beginning. Experience Creation Story at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, we are here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we are so blessed to have you. I know you've been so busy. This has just been a crazy session, starting with the Republicans and their shenanigans and the voting and all that. And here we are getting towards the end, or at the end of the session. So I really appreciate your time and coming on and speaking to everybody. I know the whole listening audience out there really appreciates your time, State Senator. Thank you so much for being on.
Hello, everybody. How is everyone? Yes, here in Minnesota, we've had a legislative session, I think, like no other, starting with recalls in the Minnesota House, recounting ballots, and special elections. So our House members really didn't get started for some time after the legislature opened up, and then eventually it became a tied House legislation. And so they had to learn how to co-govern together. And I think it was a tough task. But we did get through the regular session. We were not, we did not complete the session as we should have. For example, I'm the chair of education finance, and we waited and waited for a bill to come over from the House, which it has to originate in the House. There's all these goofy bills or rules about in the legislature. Anyways, it had to begin in the House, and then they send it over to us, and they sent it over to us with not enough time to go through the process of us hearing our bill. So we then ended up not hearing the Senate bill, and the time ran out. Our time ran out for our legislative session. So then that was last Monday. That was the day we honored Jerry Dearly, and it was Day on the Hill. Doesn't that seem like a month ago?
Yeah, exactly. And a couple seasons too. It was summer and then winter and then summer again.
Yeah, I mean, things have just been nutso. So we didn't get the job done during our legislative session that is constitutionally set. So we are now in what we call a special, well, we're not really special session yet. We're in this interim where we're getting our work done that we should have gotten done 3 weeks ago. So I'm so proud and I'm so glad to share with everybody that at about 9:30 last night, we finally came into an agreement with our House members on the education finance, and now the policy bill has been connected to my bill as well. But we finally came up with an agreement with our House members. And it's interesting because what we had to do is, when you look at it, because there is a GOP and a Democrat House member that are co-chairs, they have to negotiate everything between themselves, and then they have to come and negotiate that with us in the Senate. So it's a long drawn out affair, but we were successful. We finally got it done last night, and
that was Wednesday night, right?
What is today? Thursday? Yes.
Wednesday. Well, this will be on Friday.
Yep, on Friday. Yeah. So this happened on Wednesday night. And it was not easy, again, because we have to balance for at least the next biennium. So 27-28. And we had zero increase for the first year, the 26. And we had to cut 420,000 or million, sorry, million in the second year. So we call it our 420 bill. But, so we had to look for cuts. And that's a hard thing to do in education. You never want to cut in education. And so we were able to come to an agreement, and we'll get that done. We signed agreement yesterday or on Wednesday night, and we'll now have to figure out when we will have a special session in the Minnesota legislature, because we still have taxes that's not done, and that's been really messy. Health and Human Services, some of the other bills still are not done. So we have an extended legislative session, and most of us are pretty exhausted.
Yeah, I can imagine.
There was one night where we negotiated till about 1:30 in the morning. And I don't know about you, Robert, but there's like, I hate to say a sundown.
Yeah.
But for me, the time we hit midnight or so, having gone probably back and forth 6-7 times with offers, those numbers just ran, in front of my eyes. I couldn't make sense of anything. And we just finally had to say, this is ridiculous. We have to go get some rest and come back tomorrow. So that's what we did. And we've been successful. And I learned a lot. I learned a lot about working with the House when it's in a split shared legislative status. But good lessons learned. Yeah. And we'll get this done for the kids. It's the most important thing that we can do.
Absolutely. What other bills are lurking out there? And then you feel good that it got through. I know there's a bunch of things happening, and it's almost like everything's happening quick. What can we hang our hat on right now?
Yeah. Well, like transportation is still out there. Bonding is still out there.
Oh, geez.
You know, some of the really big ones, and I don't know that we'll get an agreement, but a lot of the environment bills are done, which is really important.
Yeah.
Not health and human services, but health services is done. Ag is done. Elections and is done. As I said, taxes is a bit of a mess, but you know, we had to revisit a number of things for American Indians. And I think we were talking a little bit about that mascot bill.
Yeah, definitely.
I've been trying to complete in a really workable way probably for about 5 years now. And we did have a bill a few years ago that stated that you had to apply for any kind of variance or exception. And then it went to the TNEC, the American Indian Education Committee in our state government. And there were a number of schools that asked for a waiver that their local governments or their local tribes did not have an issue with.
Uh-huh.
So we brought back that legislation and we trimmed it back down to like the closest tribe to you can make that decision along with the parent advisory board in the school, because in Minnesota, every public school that has at least 10 Native kids in it, the district is obliged to create a parent advisory board for that school, not for the whole district, but for that individual school. And they are to advise and work with the district to make sure that the kids are receiving the unique cultural resources, but also the general resources to improve graduation rates and support them in the work that they do. And so between those two, we think we'll be able to get some things done. And you know, a prime example is Red Wing here in Minnesota.
Right.
That school district, their mascot is Chief Red Wing. And the tribe down there, Prairie Island, and the school district have a really great working relationship.
Right. They've
improved attendance, like astronomically, graduation rates. I think almost close to every kid graduates from high school down there now. They've incorporated the Dakota language, because this is a Dakota tribe, into the school district. And so many kids, not just Native kids, but non-Native kids, want to take that course that they've had to add extra classes. That was one of the districts that was not approved. And so...
Weird.
Yeah. So they now have that option to go back and work with the school district again and with their local parent advisory group and
see if
they can't get that that to happen. So that was a good one. We also were able to convince the House members to continue a minor funding, like $40,000 a year to our BIE schools, our Bureau of Indian Education schools. Those are the federal government run schools. They have never received any of the dollars that come from school trust lands here in Minnesota, even though a large number of those lands are on tribal land, but they didn't receive the dollars from timber and from mining and that sort of thing. So we're now making sure that they are also at the same rate as every other kid in Minnesota are receiving those benefits.
Excellent. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're talking state politics. It's really great to have you on. We're going to take a quick break here.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News. Politics. I'm Dave Backer. President Trump says he's doubling the imported steel tariff.
So we're bringing it up from 25%. We're doubling it to 50%.
Trump making the announcement during a rally in Pennsylvania on Friday to discuss the partnership between U.S. Steel and Japan-based Nippon Steel. When asked, President Trump today did not rule out a pardon for Sean Diddy Combs. Meanwhile, a Combs sex trafficking and racketeering trial today, potentially damaging testimony from Combs' former assistant.
She says that she worked for Combs for 8 years and that she lived in fear of him, that as his assistant, he would allegedly throw things at her, a book. He would throw her into the pool and be violent with her multiple times. And she says that he also sexually assaulted her.
ABC's Rena Roy. The Supreme Court today granting the Trump administration's request to revoke humanitarian parole for more than 500,000 immigrants from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers in Philly.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers open a 3-game series against the Phillies, the best team in the National League so far this season. But manager Pat Murphy is encouraged after the crew swept the Red Sox this week in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, it's a testament to who they are. I talk about that a lot, like who these people are. Who is Bryce Terang? Who is Jackson Chourio? Who is William Contreras and Yelich? And that's what makes me believe in the team is who they are.
In golf, the U.S. Women's Open continues at Aaron Hills near Hartford, Wisconsin. NFL at OTAs, we met Aaron Banks, the Packers' new left guard, who signed a 4-year, $77 million deal in free agency and talked about finding out he was headed from the 49ers to Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get a lot of contact from my agent until the window opened on that Monday, and he hit me and was like, hey, we got good news, think cheese. So I was like, all right, deal's done. All right, sounds good.
That's Packers left guard Aaron Banks. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Hey ho, jazz fans. It's summer, and there's nothing better than outdoor jazz in the summertime in Wisconsin. So if you're in the Madison area, check out the Madison Jazz Festival from June 5th through the 15th. This year's attractions include Emma Dayhuff, the Edwin Doherty Five-Tet, the Emmy Castro Peruvian Jazz Quintet, the Sweet Tooth Jazz Band, and check out Jazz Sunday at the UW-Madison Memorial Union. Aw, yeah. And if you're up in northeast Wisconsin, check out Sundrop Days. Shauna was known for its delicious Sundrop manufacturing and distribution center. The annual festival is held the first week of June every year and kicks off this coming Friday. There's stuff for kids, crafts, live music, and of course, some dynamite soda. That's right, folks. Finally, there is a festival centered around a delicious soft drink, especially the real sugar version in a glass bottle, baby. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and hazy tonight with maybe a stray shower and a low in the low 50s. Filtered sunshine ahead for tomorrow, highs in the low 70s. And into the upper 70s on Sunday, still a little hazy. 80s ahead for Monday. It's 71 right now.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
This is for people who watched me anchoring the news at Channel 13. My last day at TV 13 was 20 years ago yesterday.
Oh, I'm old now too.
Well, yeah, that was my whole point.
And I was too when you stopped working at TV.
That's what I get all the time now is people come up and they go, oh, were you on TV? I'm like, yeah. And then I go, don't say it. I watched you when I was a little kid. I'm like, yikes.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
This week on the Rational Revolution, we've got Devin Remicker. He's running for chairman of the Wisconsin Democratic Party.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker. Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Oh, I like that.
Hi,
so
this
much.
This is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk.
Played that again. I liked it so much. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and welcome back, State Senator. Good to see you. A lot going on at the Capitol, and a lot of things going on just in our community.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. I mean, this has been a busy spring of activities. And I know on Saturday there is a powwow here in my community for Columbia Heights Schools.
Oh.
That's always a really nice one to go to because they honor the graduates. And I think every year there's more graduates than the year before, which is music to my ears, of course. And yeah, that's an important one for this weekend. But I also was sharing with you that there is a fundraiser this coming Monday evening for Deb Holland. If you all are paying attention, and you probably are, Deb Holland, who was the director of the Interior for our federal government, is now running for the governor of New Mexico. And it always blows my mind when I think about her, because she, I think they say that she's like she's 35th generation New wow. Mexican.
Wow.
So, you know, 30, you know, I don't know, like 350 years her family has been there.
Yeah, isn't it like 20 years a generation? So it's like 600 maybe?
I mean, it's just amazing. So there's an organization called Women Winning that helps progressive women who want to run and are running for office, and then support them while they're serving. But she's coming in that on Monday. There's a breakfast in the morning that I've been invited to attend. And then in the evening, there's also a fundraiser. So I'm pleased that even though as Secretary of the Interior, you know, she lost that position with the new regime that's out in D.C., mm-hmm. that she has not given up her advocacy for not only her state and her people, but for the good of the whole United States. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, she was such a champion of the environment and preserving all the vital architectural, historical, archaeological aspects of the reservations across. And she worked very hard on the missing and murdered Indigenous women.
Yes.
Situation with Ruth Ann Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really excited to see that she has not given up on her advocacy, and excited that she's coming here to Minnesota.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. But I just want to say, too, I think she had a lot to do with Leonard Peltier and Joe Biden, you know, doing the Clemency Act in the last minute. I saw her talks about Leonard Peltier many times. So kudos to her too.
Yeah. You know, she's a woman that speaks from her heart. And, mm-hmm. You know, when she says something, you know, you can trust what she says, and you know that it's coming from the right place. And so I wish her all the best. Mm-hmm. New Mexico couldn't do any better than having her as their governor. And like I said, just really excited to be able to support her in the coming week when she comes to Minnesota.
Yeah, maybe we can. I got it's scrolling down here, the website. It's what secure.actblue.com/donate. And then there's a number 060125. And I didn't see WW. So maybe it's scrolling on there, and we can mention it again at the end of the show if you want to donate, and also maybe go see her Monday night.
Yeah, that would be really great. If Minnesotans came out for her, that would make me proud and make our state proud as well. Yep.
Exactly. So what else we got going on here? So Friday, it will already be past that we had the parade, and then there's a powwow at the Indian Center that night, or tonight, I should say, Friday night. And so there's still things coming, and the community's recovering. We're all stronger when we're stronger together. And, you know, it's the old saying from Paul Wellstone, we all do better when we all do better.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad that they are, going to hold the parade. It got canceled because of some violent actions, in the community a few weeks ago. And so I'm really glad that they're holding it again, and that I don't have to go into the legislature tomorrow. I'll have my two little granddaughters, so maybe we'll come over to the parade and celebrate with the community. But, you know, it's the season of powwows. There's one around every corner, it seems like, these days, which is really great. Let's remember there was a time when we couldn't practice our culture. We couldn't practice our religion, speak our language. It was not long ago that schools would prohibit American Indian kids from, you know, decorating their graduation cap or put a eagle feather in it. We passed the legislation that says you have to let them do that. So things are looking up for our Native folks, and that's another reason why we need more elected officials from our Native communities to step up and serve in, you know, every level of advocacy, whether it's your city council or your school board or your county. Like, you know, we've just had a new county commissioner, as well as the legislature. If we're not there, and if nobody's advocating for us, it just doesn't happen. And it's not because they don't care or they're intentionally not. It's like they don't know. They just don't even know what these issues are. And you know, in Minnesota, the last 8 years, we've worked really hard, or 6 years, in creating a much better relationship between tribes and the governor's office and all the different agencies. But we have so much work to do. And, you know, quite honestly, we also don't have enough Native folks to fill all the positions that we need at those levels, you know?
Well, compare it to our neighbor, Wisconsin. We're doing really good because they don't have anybody in the House or Senate. And, you know, when we do have people like yourself, Lieutenant Governor, Heather Keeler, all the other people that preceded.
Leish Koslowski.
Yes. And the people that preceded, too, like, what was it, Allen?
Susan Allen.
Allen, big time. Yeah. That brought their table up there and been able to get all this acknowledgement and help to the Native community. And I think, you know, the way things are, we wouldn't have that if we didn't have people like you talking about these real issues.
Yeah, it's really only been the last 10 years that we have made these incredible headways because Native women got elected to the legislature.
There you go.
I mean, that's the honest truth of it all. We don't have any guys serving. There's one in the Senate, but you know, his advocacy is not my, you know, his priorities do not match my priorities when it comes to the environment and indigenous things. But if there's nobody there, and I keep telling people I can't keep doing this by myself. I really need help. And I'm sure at your legislature, wherever you are, or if you're up in Canada, your governmental system, anywhere there's Indigenous people, the more we can get in there to help with the decision making. And so much of it is education. Like I said, sometimes they just don't even know. They just don't even know. And you can't fix what you don't know. So that's that's where we're coming up. There's not an election cycle this year in Minnesota. Maybe there are some local ones or special sessions, but next year on in 26, there will be the Senate and the House are up for re-election and election. So it would be really helpful if there are people that Native folks that in Minnesota, if they're thinking about running for office, let us know so we can help you.
Yeah, that's a really good point. One of the things we got like a couple minutes left here. One of the things I'm always interested in is that you have a part-time job with full-time work, and you're not like retiring after the session. You still do a lot of work. And yeah. What does your summer look like now?
Well, on Monday. We have the Women Winning event. And then Tuesday, mm-hmm. I'm supposed to fly up to Alaska.
Whoa.
Come back Wednesday. Go up there for a meeting with I'm the chair of the American Indian legislators across the nation. Cool. And so we have a meeting up there on Tuesday and Wednesday. I might not get to that because those might be the days that we have special session here in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, I've committed to my daughters to watch my granddaughters a couple days a week. I don't know if I think I told you, we're expecting, more children in our family. My oldest daughter, in July will, gift us with identical twin boys.
Oh my goodness. So we'll both have twins and we know that they're sacred. Oh, wow.
Yep. And I am a twin myself. I have a
twin brother. That's right. That's right.
And I have two older brothers that are twins. And one of these last times I went back to Standing Rock where my mom's family is from. There's like tons of twins in the family out there. So we're excited to have those two little boys join us. And so I think that will keep my summer active. I have to go to another conference up in Canada in Saskatoon. And there's plenty to keep me busy, and there always is.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and speaking your truth and giving us a update. Thank you again, Big Peeny Geegee, one, for being on and doing this, but two, really most importantly, working for our community in the state of Minnesota. Thank you, State Senator.
You bet.
Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short message. Stay with us.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
What does it mean to begin? Creation Story explores Native origin stories through powerful contemporary art, connecting past and present with every brushstroke in sculpture. Explore how identity, culture, and resilience are shaped through art. Creation Story, now at All My Relations Arts through July 26th. This exhibition invites you to the heart of the Ochate Shikoin storytelling, where spiritual relatives guide the way. Open to all. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org. Experience the beginning. Experience Creation Story at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis.
Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Peeny Geegee, and thank you for your support.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native
Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
No!
Oh!
No! Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy Pilot. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years and co-founder of Native Roots Radio, and we've been on 9 years talking about our sacred animals, and I really appreciate these updates. And what do you got for us here on Friday, Wendy?
Yeah.
Welcome.
Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihi Hani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my David Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I am a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, was previously known as the Humane Society of the United States. Now it's called Humane World for Animals.
Right.
Yeah, so I found this. This is from Leonard Peltier, and I just want to read this.
Really?
Yeah, it's really quick.
Okay.
And I know that he's an artist, and
yes,
he was locked up in prison for all those years. Like, he really made beautiful art. So what I'm looking at here is a page. The words are in the middle, but around all the words is art. I don't know if it's his art or not, but it is like from him, says Leonard Peltier.
Yeah.
So there's plants and flowers and butterflies and deer and birds and a turtle, and it's beautiful. And in the middle it reads, "I don't know how to save the world. I don't have the answer. I hold no secret knowledge as to how to fix the mistakes of generations past and present. I only know that without compassion and respect for all of Earth's inhabitants, none of us will survive, nor will we deserve to." Leonard Peltier.
Wow.
So I just want to say that because I know that, you know.
We've talked to about him for 9 years.
Yeah, I hope he's doing well. I mean, he's out of prison now, and last we heard, he was with his daughter. And hopefully his health is as well, and he's enjoying his freedom.
Yeah, I know he went in for an operation a couple days ago. So I haven't heard what the outcome is, but you know, he's 80 years old, 79 years old.
Yep.
So prayers out, and and I see a lot of friends going and visiting him, and you know, it is.
Do you know what state he's in?
I believe it's South Dakota.
Oh, okay.
I believe it's South Dakota. It's one of the Dakotas.
Sure.
Wendy. I get confused.
Pretty cool. South Dakota, North Dakota, you know.
All right.
So, again, I always find these things that I always like to share.
Yeah.
I think it's important. Do you know chemically treated lawns increase the risk of dog cancer by 70%?
God, we see them all around our neighborhood, too.
All those little tags that say, "Do not go on the grass
for 24 hours.
They'll give a date. Oh, they don't want children or animals.
Yeah, that ought to tell you something.
I know. I know, it's scary. And we try to say, "Wanda, you know, don't walk on that grass. Don't walk on that poison grass." But she doesn't know. And then she runs. And then, you know, a few days later or a week day goes by, and then it rains, and then the little signs are gone. So you really, you know, if we see a lawn that has like no weeds, no dandelions, there's nothing, just beautiful green grass, we're like, do not walk on that grass, because that's not normal.
Well, and you know, we talk about Wanda and our sacred animals, and can you imagine a couple things with that, Wendy? One is human beings, and two, our other relatives, like birds that can't read and rabbits that can't read signs.
Exactly. Well, it's crazy. Yeah, it's just a chain of events.
Yeah, and isn't that being like,
I mean,
rain and then down in the river, and
goes down in the river. Yeah, goes down the Mississippi River.
Yeah,
it's only a few blocks away. Yeah, it's a whole thing. You know, they're like, you know, spray your lawn and spray, like, spray for mosquitoes, right? So you're spraying for mosquitoes. And who eats mosquitoes?
Bats.
Bats, frogs, like all these things. So then they're eating, and they're not eating because all the mosquitoes are dead.
Right.
Yeah. Do you remember that bat I brought into the,
yeah,
the wildlife rehabilitation center here in Roseville?
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, a friend of mine put up a Facebook
post
that they found a bat, an injured bat, And we need to bring it into the rehabilitation center. And he couldn't get there because he had a meeting he had to be in. So I was like, all right, I'll go pick up the bat. So I went on to pick up the bat. And I get to the rehabilitation center and drop off the bat. And they give you a report. The Wildlife Rehabilitation Center here in Roseville, Minnesota, and I'm sure most of them across the country do this as well. When you mm-hmm. drop an animal off, they take your name and information and they send you a little update.
Mm-hmm.
And what they updated us on this bat was really disturbing. They said that the bat was malnourished and it died of starvation.
Jeez.
So what a sad thing that a little bat couldn't find enough bugs and whatever else it eats, because we're poisoning everything.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is supposed to be Fun Fact Friday, so let's get back to some fun facts. So I've been like collecting these little memes, the little cartoons, and then I describe them. But Robert, I'm going to need your help with this one.
Oh.
So do you remember a skit on Saturday Night Live? It's an older one where they did the cowbell, and who was in that
right.
one? Who was in
that? More cowbell?
More cowbell.
There was
remember
a,
that one?
Oh, it's famous.
Hawkins played the guy. Hawkins. You'll remember him. So Hawkins was directing the band in a studio. It was all Saturday Night characters. And they had, you know, guitar, drum, a cowbell, and it was a pretty famous skit on Saturday Night Live. So if you remember it, you'll remember it. If you don't, I'm going to just flop this joke right here. But anyway, here's a scene with a dog who is the conductor, which Walken was.
Yeah, Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken. Thank
Will,
you.
Will Ferrell.
Will was Ferrell. A... Thank you very much, Robert, for looking that up. I wasn't stumbling over everything.
No.
So now all the dogs are in the background, and they're in the studio, and it's the exact scene at Saturday Night Live, except it's dog cartoons. And Christopher Walken, who was a dog, walks in and says, "Fellas, it sounded great, but I got to have more doorbell." Instead of cowboy. Don't. Okay, billboards. You know, you're driving down the highway and you see billboards, these big billboard signs.
Yes.
Right. So here's one, big giant billboard
yep.
with a dog on it. And it says, "Have you been left home alone for more than 10 minutes? You have rights. Call the paw firm of Bacon, Treat, and Good Boy. 888, not alone." Well, I know that Wanda.
Wait, let me hit that one again.
Wanda would definitely call them.
Yeah.
She doesn't like to be left home for a minute. Here's another one. So here's a picture of three dogs. Here's a picture.
I love how you describe these.
Basic human needs. Number one, water. Number two, oxygen. Number three, and there's a picture of all these dogs sitting there. So you need to have dogs. Water, oxygen, and dogs. Yeah. Listen to this. And I think the United States has some of these. I'm going to have to look it up. But Canada has installed wildlife detection systems that use sensors to spot large animals near highways. When an animal is detected, flashing warning signal alerts drivers. This smart technology helps reduce crashes and protects both wildlife and people. I think that we've seen those before, haven't we? Like they're posted, like the, you know, the yellow signs or the orange signs with the deer that's been across the
yeah.
road. But this one has like flashing lights.
What's interesting,
senses,
Wendy, but, I don't know if they're doing anything, but you know how I drive to Black River all the time.
Yeah.
I don't see as many dead deer.
Oh.
Which is, we've seen hundreds just driving to Eau Claire.
One time driving just one way, and we counted like 14 dead deer.
Just to Eau Claire.
That's really scary, because especially at night or at dusk, I don't remember what time of day they shoot out in the road, but it is. Here's one. All dogs.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'll be joined by senior ranking member of the state's Joint Finance Committee, Senator LaTanya Jackson, to talk about the Republicans' cuts that will affect you and yours.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Always a good time when you stop in at Ooga Brewing in Beaver Dam. You won't want to miss the live music every week on the Ooga Patio. Plus, June is Pride Month, so let your flag fly. And be sure to catch the family-friendly Pride Celebration June 28th on South Spring Street. And while you're there, stop in to try Pajama Panda. It's on tap. This new creation is a tart ale brewed with koji and plum. Ooga Brewing Company, 301 South Spring Street, part of Beaver Dam's vibrant downtown.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. In the Oval Office today, Elon Musk removed one more person from the federal government, himself.
The world's richest man now stepping away from his role as a special government employee. Slashing federal agencies and firing thousands of government workers.
Elon gave an incredible service. Nobody like him. And he had to go through the slings and the arrows, which is a shame.
Musk says he will continue to serve as an unofficial advisor to the president.
ABC's Rachel Scott. Rallying in Pennsylvania, President Trump saying he's going to double the tariff on steel from 25% to 50%. Trump making the announcement at a rally of steel workers at U.S. Steel near Pittsburgh this afternoon, celebrating a planned partnership with Japan's Nippon Steel. Major win for the White House in the battle over immigration, the Supreme Court granting the Trump administration's request to revoke humanitarian parole for more than 500,000 immigrants from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. This is ABC News.